This call is being recorded.
Hi, Tomáš.
Oh, hi.
I see the call automatically records since Marcus is not here, so we already being recorded. I see Carol on IRC.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, there he is. Hi, Carol.
Hi, guys. Tomáš, Pavlik, are you there?
We are.
Yes, hi, Carol. We are already being recorded on the call since Marcus is not here, so he put the auto recording.
Uh-huh. Have we got an agenda for today?
Yeah. I didn't send out anything. I was gone for a month. I didn't have internet connection, so I wasn't sure exactly what's the strategy. Also, for the IRC, I'm not sure if I remember the commands that I need to start the minutes. Let me see if I can just invite the trackbot. One second.
As for the agenda, there is a handful of issues on both repositories, so we can continue with those. There were some comments in the last week, so I'm sure we can talk about those.
I think the most important is related to those actions, I think.
Yes, we should start with actions.
Yeah, I think that's a good. So I don't know if we can scribe. If it's recorded, maybe I can later ask Marcus for audio and try to transcribe a bit minutes. Because if it's three of us, I don't know. Do you guys think we should scribe or try to do it later?
I think it's a good habit to scribe.
But if we don't do it now, then we don't do it.
See, I have some problem with getting the kind of RRS agent to start the meeting. On IRC, I have problem to start the automated kind of scribing thing.
I don't know.
Check quickly.
Can still start scribing, let's say, offline. Or something.
Okay.
Okay. Forget about the IRC. I can scribe in my notepad, then I'll send it to Marcus and the two of you.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm getting this weird response. There's no tracker associated with the channel. That's very weird.
Okay, so let's, Carol, that's a good idea. Just scribe it on notepad and we'll share it. It's just as good. I didn't even know that it was some kind of tooling behind it.
Yeah, I do not know the comments for the IRC either, so... Just skip it. Okay.
Let me put the link to, to reviewable for the actions.
Yeah, let me open this as well. Okay, how shall we start with it?
Well, I noticed that, so I finally got down to it, and you and Marcus also did some comments in the last week. Elf, did you have a chance to look over the comments?
Yeah, I went through it last days. I think I replied to some of them. I think just yesterday, possibly, I replied to a couple of them.
I think those shorter ones, in the mind thread, there are quite a few huge responses, and I do not see any replies from you.
Oh, that's right. There is a comment from 21 hours ago. I don't recall getting an email.
Yeah, in the main thread, I remember Marcus was showing his kind of like the API he would imagine for the client. And then... Yeah, there's one comment about which data goes in the kind of payload and which needs to be some kind of provided in order otherwise than through the payload, like for example the slug kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that so I know this was my comment for yet to the changes that you. So there's two parts to it, just as I write. So the minor one is that what was two string values you concatenated into a single value, which is probably, I think, just wrong. It's just, it's different, completely different semantic. But yeah, like you say, the important thing here is whether those template variables should be derived solely from the actual model, where I kind of think that, well, they could, but from the perspective of the descriptions of the controls, I think these should be handled separately. So both from the, mm-hmm. and then as an extension also on the, like on the snippets for the API, there would also be something else. So you could use the same object to fill in both the template and then use it as the body. But I don't think it's a good assumption to always just have it combined into a single model.
I agree
with you. In my long kind of comment I made 3 weeks ago on this main thread, I just suggested that we may want to align the use case 5 and 5.1 and only make it differ that one uses post, one uses put. Because if you use post, you can also use a slug. You have HTTP header, and you can also specify the slug. The server doesn't kind of guarantee respecting that slug, but, you know, just like you may want to provide to the client a slug for the URL using put, you may want to do it providing post. So my kind of suggestion would be to try to make the use cases like pretty much exactly the same, with the only difference on using different HTTP verb to perform the operation. Like all the rest would be exactly the same. So if we want to maybe extend the use case to provide slug, I think we should extend both the 5 and 5.1, because again, it shouldn't matter if you use put or post. If you want to be able to use some kind of slug in the URL, there are ways to do it in both.
Okay, I see the point. Well, the slug isn't, so I remember, so it was me writing the use case, and the slug isn't like the important. It could have been any from the, you know, from the meaning, from the semantics of the template. Just like you say, slug is a shortcut. So rather than looking for a specific example, just, you know, something that you put on the URL, so that's the slug, right? It's not the slug isn't there for any specific reason. So it could have been like, well, I guess. because the slug is something that the user supplies is in disconnect from the main model. So it still does make sense. I agree that it can be provided in other ways. But so maybe we could change the slug into something else so that a person doesn't fall into that trap.
I'll try to look at the use case 5 and see if we, you have location events too. So it seems that in use case 5, it just kind of uses a number that it increments. I think, how about we switch both use cases to use, for example, UUID? So in the end, even the URL of the event will be the same, no matter if we use post or put. And just the only difference will be that the client will generate UUID and the server will generate UUID. So we've put the client will do it, we've post the server. But other than that, it will be in both cases UUID, and the use cases will pretty much only differ that one will use the independent put and the other one will use post. And other than that, you know, everything will be the same. The URL of the would be the same. I mean, just again, the different party will generate the UUID.
I see your point. Adding too many moving parts can make this to seem complicated. The details are not that important, so we can do it.
Sorry for interrupting you, Tomasz, because I'm somehow focused on both what you are talking and scribing, but I do not get what's the idea. Let me explain how I understand those issues I think Pavlik has with those use cases. In the first one, there is some operation invocation, and in the second one, there is almost everything the same, but there is one extra step that is related to filling up the slug parameter. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, expanded the template.
Yeah, and you would like to have this extra step to be somehow transient or common for both use cases.
I would like that client doesn't need to have a prior knowledge if the server is using put or post. And again, even if we don't...
But it does not have this knowledge.
The code, it's assuming that there's a member template. If it didn't, so it's assuming that there will be template and you know... Okay, in that case, we use template because... You wouldn't use template if you would have post. So the thing is, like, the code, in my opinion, should be identical. The code of the client should be identical. No matter if the server uses, and in this case, one it's going through the member template, so it kind of has this prior knowledge that there will be member template and not just operation or action on the collection directly.
Mm-hmm. True, I agree, and this is what I think Marcus wanted to show with his example, where he just finds some kind of operation and just uses a resource as a something that gets into the operation and just invokes the operation without getting into details whether it has template or not, whether it expects some kind of body or not, etc., etc. So I agree with this. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so should we try to actually take the snippets from Marcus and see how this could work? And again, and make sure that this will work for both, for the case put and post, and let's assume that in both cases there will be UUID used, so the client will just need to kind of have a template with UUID where we can take some kind of property that we recognize as UUID, and then in the post it will not need to fill up any template, but the code of the client, I think I would prefer that it's kind of internally handled, that there's a need for adding UUID by the client and not by the server.
But I still think that this is making risky mental leap in a regard that, we can make an example that we are using the UID that's also part of the requested representation, but it will not always be the case. For example, because the whatever property of the model may not conform, may not be fit for a URL segment, right? For example, you could. So this is not so common, but yeah, you can define the slug, so to speak, or a segment. But for example, by default, when you type it, like say an article, you type in the article title, and spaces will be replaced by hyphens to form the kebab case, right? In such case, you are limiting the client if we streamline the API so that it only just takes the one model and it's hidden inside the implementation, the fact whether there is a template or not. And it makes it impossible for clients would actually need to distinguish that. I mean, the only way then is to add an extra property on the model, which will be ignored when coming from the body, but it will be used to populate a template, which I think is weirder, and it just mixes the responsibilities, right? I mean,
I agree with you, but if you want to provide something that is not in the data, we may want to provide it for both, for the post and put, because especially with Slug, it's a common also practice that when you make post, you can add HTTP header Slug and still hint to the server what Slug you would like to use for the URL of created resource, even though that you use post for that. So again, we could maybe do like a case and then in the same kind of file extend it. Let's say we need to provide something that it's not in a payload already, and then do it there. So maybe we can have like two versions for 5 and 5.1. One that will just use UUID, and in 5 server generates UID. In 5.1, the client generates UID. You don't need to provide it because, again, that's something that you just generated. And in other case, we provide Slug to both. And then in post, it uses HTTP header, and in put, it just adds it to the template.
But this is not strictly about the Slug. So the Slug is just segments, URL segments that you can just put on the base, on some kind of base. But you can have a complex template, and the client will. So this is the detail that you hide, whether the template uses segments, query parameters, segment parameters. You could even put a variable on the domain, whatever. So this is what the client doesn't know. But the client knows, and this is something that it has to be handled by client code. Maybe you're right. I see the point that if there's a member template, there's a logical junction that if there's a template, we have to fill it in. But then again, this would be handled by a higher level library, like generating the UI. Okay, we have a template, so let's put a small form with those variables. And then the other form for the body, there will be two objects to be processed by the with the client. With Heracles, right? But there's no high road here. Like I said, the bottom line is if we simplify too much, it can turn out that we cannot support certain scenarios. And
I'm not saying simplify too much. I just suggest that we can align 5 and 5.1, even if each of them has two versions, like one that's more simple and one kind of using something that it's not in the payload we want to send, or at least, it's either in a URL or in a header, that we do it in a symmetric way. So both 5 and 5.1, we have exactly the same use case, and the only difference is how the operation happens. So the
I agree. The resulting request is exactly the same. That's fine, but the mechanics of how the request comes to being, so the action, I mean, wrong word, no pun intended. So the act of filling in the template, it has to be visible because this is a different way of performing the request, and you cannot hide it behind just a simple invoke call.
Maybe it is possible. The issue is, I think I've posted it somewhere in the comments, that there is no piece of specification that allows us to describe what needs to be in the body and what needs to be in the ERIE template. There are tools specifically for the ERIE templates that are describing what parameters should go where in the URL, but there is nothing that allows the client to determine which goes where.
Well, there's the properties, like there's a mapping. Each variable in a template is mapped to the RDF property.
Yeah, but these variables and the properties are how the server uses them on its side. It does not mean that these properties need to be filled from the resource by the client.
Yeah, I think that's a question.
Don't have to be from the resource. I think don't necessarily have to be for the resource, but the client doesn't understand the variable names. The variable names are just where to position substitute in a template.
Yeah,
that's the only
exactly.
reason. The meaning of the variable, it's the binding through the mapping to the RDF property. So the whole meaning of the variable, I think, needs to be captured in the RDF property, which maps to the variable name. I think that's the whole point of this mapping given to the client, that the client can kind of have some semantic meaning of those properties to choose the values based on what the property means.
But I could leave it with this just as well. But if the mapping includes a property that's not part of it's not one of the supported properties for the requested type, then speaking from the input perspective, it would be just added as yet another form element, right? So there's the person supported class, and has the properties name, surname, and whatever, and age, right, or birth date. And then there's mm-hmm. some additional property used in the template mappings. Then it will just be combined with supported properties. If this is something that we can live with, I'm fine with just as well.
Yeah, I think it's quite also unclear if we take a RDF property, you know, you can use it in both directions. And then also we don't know which like sometimes you would have subject, sometimes object. So I think also there's no way in a mapping to specify a reverse. And I don't know if we can assume that the resource that we will, for example, post or put, it's the subject for the statement using that property. So I think that the mapping of the template, I still don't find very clear, for example, how to use properties in reverse direction. And again, if the resource that we want to use for payload, it's not always the subject for that mapping, for the properties using that mapping. I don't know if... Do you understand what I mean with the...
No, you lost me when you started with objects and subjects. I didn't know which is what.
I mean, like in RDF statements, you have subject, predicate, object. So the mm-hmm. predicate is the property.
Mm-hmm. I know the terms, but I didn't know how this all relates to the template mappings and the body.
Because template mapping maps variable names to RDF properties, the predicates.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I think, anywhere clear, but it seems that the intent may be that the payload is the subject, then you have the property from the mapping, the predicate, and the value would be the object. So, for example, if you have a slug, you know, forgetting the HTTP range 14, that the slug would be the value for some kind of predicate slug or something, or the schema name we use in that case, and the subject would be the payload, the event, for example. So I think also I don't find the mappings that clear, and if we use the, for example, UUID, it's also not obvious that if we just have a property that means that's the UUID of the resource, that Yeah, that the payload has this UID, even that the payload doesn't have it as a supported property. I think that's a bit unclear, like when we have the resource with supported properties and when we have properties in a mapping of a template, and how do they differ? I think Tomas was touching it pretty good, saying that if you would make a form or something, like which one goes into the payload and which one goes into the template.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm claiming. It's not there in the specification.
Yeah, I remember it wasn't long ago, just on November 20th, I started just a similar thing on GitHub. So that's issue 152, putting on IRC. So maybe the questions weren't exactly that. But yeah, the template, this is something maybe that we have to resolve before we can really agree on how to design the API but go ahead. For now, please do go ahead. I fully agree with unifying the two use cases, and then we can refine it later. But that's a step that, if Carol agrees, let's do it.
Okay, what shall we type in the IRC? What are we voting for?
I mean, I can, in my pull request, take the snippets from Marcus and, for example, make a version for 5 and 5.1 that uses that code that Marcus posted and uses UUID. In 5, it will be server generating that. In 5.1, client in a transparent way, that the client pretty much will be aware about the UID property, and if it finds in a template a proper value variable mapped to this particular property, that means UUID, it will transparently, without any need for the kind of developer using the client, it would automatically generate and insert UID in the URL. So the code will not require you to know if there's a requirement for UUID or not. As soon as it finds template with the property that means UID, it will transparently generate it and insert it there without any developer kind of intervention.
Well, it sure sounds tempting. Okay, yeah, sure. You want to vote? You want to do it formal, but I agree with that.
Okay, should I take a note or something? Because I'm quite confused.
Yeah, you can maybe type that I take the action to take the snippet from Marcus. And he has this like very fluent interface. And now, based on that interface, modify my pull request, the 5 and 5.1, and it will rely on the client no understanding the UUID property, some property that means UID, and again, if it's in the template, it will transparently, so you don't need to kind of anticipate that in your code. If it just appear in a API, in a hypermedia control, the client will automatically know to enter generate UID there.
Okay, but how it is related to this actions pull request?
I think that addresses the kind of issue I was saying, that currently the code is different based on put and post. Again, it's also different because one has Slack, one doesn't have Slack. But if we align the cases that there's no extra requirement for Slack or both
Public
the version with the extra. Okay.
I understand that these are related to this issue that you've raised in your last longer comment on GitHub, but the pull request is somehow related to actions, and I got confused how are these two related. I think the issue, the latest issue with how to interpret the resource and the IRI templates and the body of the request is unrelated to the actions. Am I correct?
If I can jump in, maybe we are onto something. I'm just looking at one of Marco's snippets where you have the discover action. Oh, so that's actually for the member template. So very good. So that I'm saying that maybe the member template doesn't, we don't need it anymore, where Marco says yes, and then the example is that you have the discovered action, then there's the operation as the object, which is the IRI template for the target. And this makes it even more obvious that without the member template, the client, so the target is the implementation detail, right? So you get the operation, just invoke it with whatever model, and whether that's a concrete URI or a template. So this this structure then is symmetrically symmetrical with the with a symmetrical API in the same fashion, right? So I see this related in that way. But if I look at the other snippet from Marcus, it says, so client using API, find collection, invoke with data, right? So even if we agree or not about the with data, this is the...
Yeah, but it's still more related to how the resource should be, how to say it. Oh, I like the word. I need to find it. How to put this resource into the request itself.
I mean, maybe if we look from a different angle, like the main problem I see that the actions in general try to address, that we have the case when we have logically action on some resource, given resource or collection, but the operation is performed on a different resource or collection. So it's that the meaning of the action applies to one, but the operation is performed in the other one. The put and post is just one of the very common examples, but, you know, I didn't get to this link yet. But again, if, for example, we have some resource that we make put to represent linking one resource with another resource, the action is linked on the one resource. The meaning of the action applies to one resource, but the operation is performed on a different one. Can be URL template or can be pre-generated URL if it's kind of you composing the for example IDs of the resources to represent the like or something like that. So I think here we with this member template we kind of work around for this particular use case of adding something to collection. So we somehow, instead of relying on the add action to mean that you add something to this collection, we have that this collection have a member template, allow the members need to follow that template. But if we have some other cases, again, the liking is just one of the cases, we probably should find some more, where the action relates to one resource or collection, and it's performed, then the operation is performed on another one, then we had this problem, because now we need to always create some kind of property that links the one resource to the other one, and semantically it's not always meaningful one. It seems like this kind of, you know, forced by the current design that we always need to kind of link somehow the two resources to be able to have an action kind of indirectly on the other one.
I think Carol isn't satisfied.
I'm just trying to type something from
okay.
This river of words.
Describing is hard.
Describing is difficult, yeah. I'm just got a gut feeling that this very issue that we are started discussion with, I think it's big enough to have a separate pull request. And it's somehow a tool to achieve the actions in general. I don't know how do you guys feel about this.
I Can you elaborate?
I think we maybe missed some use case here, because that's the only use case so far that we have created with put and post. But again, this we seem to address with the member template, and if we don't have more use cases, it seems sufficient. But if we add this kind of linking use case, and then maybe one or two other real-world use cases where you have action on one resource, but it's performed on the other one, I think that may be more clear that it's a more general issue than just for adding members to collection.
But can you, Carol, explain again what the concern is exactly? What kind
just,
of what would?
No, the concern is that the way the resource should be interpreted in the request or the operation or the ERIE template is somehow a separate thing than the actions itself, which was the initial idea behind the pull request 154.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I encourage you to follow up on 152.
So I was wondering whether the latest comments should be somehow a good entry point for a separate pull request related to this part, for how the resource should be interpreted and used in the request, and the actions is somehow another issue.
I don't know if it needs a pull request at this point.
I don't know, because the snippet by Marcus, we cannot implement it correctly, probably without touching the specification. I don't know, or maybe we can implement it somehow. I don't know. We could make some assumptions. For instance, with this with data part, we could just grab the resource and map it. These properties to the ERIE template. If it does exist, if not, it just put to the payload and let's invoke it. Maybe this is the way.
I think, yeah. I think, and you know, we don't need to get these are just, well, they're not pseudocode, but they don't necessarily have to be 100% accurate at this point. So we are doing this first, and then we're putting in. If we're not satisfied with how this will be implemented, then we can come back later.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is more, I think, the specifications. Well, this is the specifications repository, and we should focus on how we model. And the second step is what we do with it to get those details right. I mean, and so what to do with it in the sense of how do we fill in the template is one thing, and then yet another thing is how we implement this in the client.
Well, actually, I suggest to keep the filling up the template separate, and I would like to in a 154 the actions with explicit target. I would like to modify the use case that actually the client just puts the UUID transparently, so we actually don't have this more general question of substituting variables with some particular values and using the mapping. So that would be like just one a special case of using the mapping to UUID, and which again I think I had an issue about that before. Marcus suggested that maybe schema.org could be a better place to use this common property, but if not, we can even add it later, reopen that issue. But yeah, I would like to minimize my pull request to not deal with the IRI templates in general, but have this one specific case of putting UUID there by the client, which is a very special case in my opinion.
This is what I was pointing to. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we could focus, maybe I could introduce some kind of pull request on Heracles implementation related on how to interpret the resource and the IRI template, and then we could focus on those actions and this pull request of yours, Pavly. Maybe this is okay. The way, because the pull request grows.
Looking at the 152 about IRI templates, I think the biggest implementation at this moment is triple pattern fragment from leaked data fragments, which has actually RDF property up the RDF subject, RDF object mapping in the spec. So also I think that's an interesting case for how currently it already adopted in the linked data fragments, the Hydra, this part of the Hydra with the mapping to actually like redefined statement in a way, with subject, predicate, and object. I will post it in the issue, but I think that's a use case that we probably, you know, want to keep in mind because it's already widely adopted.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Let's ping
to dig for it, and maybe we'll have some ideas for the Heracles then.
And also in my pull request, I'll try to look back as I suggested before for the like case. Okay, so we have this like a liking a video, and we try to. Currently, I just have like a link action or something like that, but I would like to look how to do it actually with action and operation. So that would be my another effort to exemplify the actions and operations using something like link action or something like that.
Yeah, sounds good. Is there such an action? No. Hopefully you have enough pointers to refine the PR now in this regard. I do have one more. I put it on a comment. I do have one more thing that I wanted to understand about the actions from Marcus, one of Marcus' comments, or somewhere in the middle. He mentions that, you know, embedded actions operations, and then he says, illustrating how this would work in an API documentation. The use case doesn't mention, I mean, yeah, the PR doesn't mention this at all. And I to me, it looked like actions only make sense as an inline control. Did you, Pavlik, did you have, like, did you give it a thought how it would be, if it would be designed to also be put on the API documentation?
Okay, I can take it also. I see that was the 2 weeks ago comment. I didn't dive into that. Yeah, okay, I'll also try to in my pull request, because currently we have an entry point. So currently they're kind of all defined in the entry point, no? It's not in the API documentation, but...
Yes. So yeah, on inline on the entry sorry, point. But we can just tell me, tell us. So that is the idea is that it actually would also work with the API documentation. I'm not sure how this makes how this would make sense, how this would be structured. So
okay, because
maybe this, I don't know. No, this doesn't deserve a separate use case. Probably should be.
I think I may know the answer for you, Tomasz.
Mm-hmm.
Because the actions in the design of Pavlik are supposed to point the target explicitly, and think this would come in handy in the API documentation. You could define in the API documentation an action that points to an explicit URL that you need to call. And operations currently do not allow you to do this. They need a parent with some kind of URL to use. I think maybe this is the use case. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because, for instance, in the API documentation, how would you describe what operations are allowed? Let's say we are doing something similar to the Swaggers does. So let's define all the operations that the API supports. How would you do this now?
Oh, what do you mean? There would be support operations of supported classes. That's how it's done, right? Or properties.
Mm-hmm. But maybe actions could be a little bit more, I don't know, elastic for the purpose. I don't know, just wondering.
Can any of you from the top of your head think how you would define kind of create with put without defining a class for the whole collection? No, it wouldn't even help. Yeah, because if you have post, you could define a class that represents a collection of something, like event calendar or something, whatever class, and then define create action or add action that has post, because that's the collection, the resource itself, it's the target. But I think currently, with current API documentations, you couldn't define an operation that would use put on another resource that's not supported now. So the 5.1 wouldn't be, our use case 5.1 wouldn't be possible with current API documentation.
Is it impossible at all currently? If you mint, like you said, when you want to have a different target, then you mint the property, and you can have an operation, a supported operation on a supported property. I think that's the way that you currently can achieve any kind of request on any links.
What does it mean, the supported operation for a supported property? How do you...
It means that when there's, say, you have a car resource and then a steering wheel resource, and they're linked with a steering wheel property. So you can have an operation on the supported property, and the target will be the steering wheel. And so you put and you put it in the API documentation.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like not a very intuitive way of doing it.
It took me a while to understand. But it does make sense. So it allows you to do exactly that.
And supported property, how you put the IRI template there? Because in the, hold on.
I think the Marcus's idea was to have a IRI template also as a resource, so you could have an IRI template with an operation inside it. And the logic would be that the operation uses the IRI template itself as a target of the operation.
Kind of reversed from the actions proposal. I mean, I like the actions for other reasons. I'm just saying that those kind of things are possible if this was communicated properly. Yeah, and even if you had the supported property on support, and it's supported operation, as in the steering wheel and the turn it operation. Even if this, if the object was, instead of a resource, it could be just an IRI template. This could also work. That's a bit of a gray area, but it could be defined a way. The only problem is that it feels like we are inventing more ways to do similar function, to achieve similar functionalities.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if any of you could take a look how, with the current kind of approach, the 5.1 would work in the API documentation, I could just focus on how, with the kind of actions and operations approach, this could work or not in API documentation. So we could kind of split efforts, yeah, to look at those, take how in general the 5.1 could look in API documentation using the currently existing approach or the one when we split actions from operations. And I could focus on the second one here.
Okay, I can have this mental exercise.
Okay, so let's start a new issue, and we can share some examples, some discussion on GitHub as well.
Okay, how would you call this issue? What would be the topic of it?
I think we can even reference use case 5.1, you know, how to use case 5.1 in API documentation, something like that.
Okay.
We can always change the title. Don't worry.
Tomasz, can you take care of this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I look at the time, seems like we approaching full hour.
Yep.
Anything we can discuss very briefly? Or do we want to call it?
Okay, so let me just make a quick summary. I've made an action point for Tomasz to start this new issue related to performing a use case 5.1 in the API documentation. There is another action point for me to introduce required changes in the Heracles API related to the IRI templates. So the issue that that we discussed for most of this call. Not sure what other action points are defined. I think Pavlik mentioned
to the UUID to align the 5 and 5.1 to only use UUID transparently by the client for 5.1.
Mm-hmm. 5 and UC 5.1 UID instead of okay. Okay. Not like a plan.
And I will also look at the actions and operations in API documentation.
Again, could you repeat that one? Last sentence?
I will look at actions and operations in API documentation. So the same that Tomasz should make the issue, but from the perspective of the pull request I meant that separates them.
Okay, I'm not sure what to type, what to note here. Help me with this one.
Actions and operations in API documentation, or we can also say PR 154 in API documentation. I have the comment from Marcus when he was asking about that, so I will know this one.
Okay. This is somehow related to the issue that Tomasz will start.
Yeah, but I think he will focus from the current kind of status quo approach, and I will focus
Okay,
how this will work in the 154 suggested changes.
Yeah, okay. Let's juxtapose different ideas under the same issue, and let's discuss.
I agree. Okay, sounds like a plan. I think there are 4 more minutes. Is there anything we want to discuss?
Nothing comes to my mind.
No, I'm good.
Same. Yeah, I'm good as well. Okay, I think we're done then. I'll copy paste the stuff that I've scrapped today. Not too much. There is quite a lot to you guys and to Marcus and yeah, we're done. Let's go to work.
Okay, you guys have a good day. I hope the spring starts nicely in Europe.
It started quite nicely with -10.
Oh my gosh.
It's
this moment here, it's 1 o'clock and it's probably +25, something like that.
And where are you now?
You gotta come visit one day.
Where are you now?
Near Mexico City.
Okay. No more words. Okay. So have a nice day. It's almost night here in Poland, so not too much time left. Anyway, thanks guys.
See you.
Okay, guys. Ciao. Take care.
Take care. Cheers. Bye-bye.